Welcome to the Fundraising Podcast brought to you by Charitable, the app and agency that's here to help you connect with your donors, fundraise well, and increase your impact. Join us as we dive into the world of fundraising strategy for charities and not-for-profits. From building trust to storytelling, marketing, innovation, and expanding your supporter base, we're here to help charities level up their fundraising game. Together, let's increase charitable giving and make the world a better place for the most vulnerable. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundraising Podcast by Charitable. My name is Josh Scotto and I am joined by Mike Gore. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Just had a delicious lunch.
I know, so did I.
Ready for the Arvo?
My gosh, I am I'm running out of steam, but I feel like we can get there.
It's starting to get a bit warmer and I feel like it's like a prime afternoon for an afternoon nap. And so we're just powering on through. You know, when the weather gets warmer and you're like, oh, I could really just go for like a little kip.
Actually, are you a summer or winter person?
I'm a shoulder season person.
Of course.
Autumn.
Are you a vegan as well?
No.
Okay.
No, I shouldn't laugh that loud at that though. I'm not a vegan though. I love vegans.
Right. Well, I like cooler weather than I do warm. And that could either be in
so
a shoulder season.
So you're not all that excited right now.
Not really.
No.
I mean, I am from an Indian background. I think people would, you know, I remember, totally tangential, but one of my daughters was doing an assignment at school.
Yeah.
And she was studying how like different colors conduct heat.
Yeah.
And it was called run, run, runny, right? And she glued all of these Crayola crayons to the top.
Yep.
And then hit them with a hairdryer. And based on their conductivity or whatever and color, different ones melted at different times.
Yeah.
She came home from school that day. She held up her crayon art. She looked at me, then looked at my head, looked down to my toes, looked up and said, "You must be really hot, Dad." And I said,
"Conduct more heat."
What do you mean? Exactly. She goes, "Well, black conducts more heat." Oh my goodness. And because I'm from an Indian background, she says, "You must conduct more heat."
Oh my gosh.
And I just thought, good on you, kid. Well, you know you're half Indian too, pal. But anyway.
But you prefer the colder weather. What a conundrum.
All that to say, I may have come from India, but I do enjoy it colder than I do hot.
I literally have no segue into our content for today for this episode based off the back of that conversation. So we're just going to like hard change gears and bring this conversation
no
into
worries.
What we're actually going to be talking about.
All good.
Which is in this kind of series on innovation. The question for today's episode is, what would 100% success look like?
Yeah, I think that's an important question, Joss, actually, because I reckon, having been there for years, I reckon we live out of what I would call mitigated success. Okay, what happens is come up with new ideas, come up with new plans, press go on whatever we're doing. To be honest, whether it's in working life or personal life, but there's always this element where I self-protect.
Mm.
I temper my expectations, not generally because I'm worried about anything other than I don't know if this is going to work and how will I look.
Mm.
And so what happens is, I call it mitigated success, is that we almost, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We almost like give our results before we even have tried.
Yeah.
Whereas the question, what would 100% success look like, is simply to get you out of that box and to say, hey, if this were to work completely, what would that look like?
Yeah, I actually totally agree with that statement because I also think it's a part of Aussie culture.
Mm.
Like I think we're kind of conditioned to be a laid back, we don't really, like we're not a super arrogant culture, if that makes sense. Like we don't want to puff ourselves up. We don't want to speak too proudly of ourselves. But in some cases it means that we mitigate our success or we actually downplay it to a point where it doesn't actually feel that successful.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you mean, that's a great leadership lesson for any person leading teams is never rob your team of a victory.
Yeah.
Right? Learn to celebrate even the smallest of wins because that's where so much, again, self-value, self-belief and progress come from.
Mm.
So alongside the notion of innovation and living top right and, again, all the lessons we've learned this series, what does 100% success look like is incredibly important.
Yeah.
Because if you don't live from that point – My advice to you is that you're not top right.
Mm.
Right? You're actually you're self-protecting back to the middle of the page.
Yeah. You're going back to what's safe.
Correct. Mm. And when you do that, the odds of scaling, increasing, innovating, simplifying, functionally growing and refining the change throughout your organization, you're actually already sort of giving you your worst chance of hitting those simply because you're mitigating your own success by way of self-protecting. I know it sounds a lot of words, but I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think that when you're asking yourself what would 100% success look like, it actually gives you this target or a sense of a target to aim at, and it also gives you the courage and hope that it takes to get there. Because it's important to note that it's not about ensuring your success. It's about harnessing the effort and the hope so that you don't live out of the mitigated success logic, as that only really like stunts your progress.
Well, it's a bit like, think like a baseballer for a minute.
Mm.
Just swing for home.
Mm.
You don't have to hit a home run. I mean, yeah. Babe Ruth, every time he stepped up to the plate, he did not hit a home run, but he would be hitting for home.
Yeah, that's right.
I from a leadership perspective, I could not care less if you bunt it sometimes, if you strike out. What I care is that you're swinging for home.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the key, is that 100% success is a swing for home.
Yeah.
It's waking up and saying, you know what, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to believe in it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to surround myself in an organization and a culture that says I'm going to reward the fact that you swung for home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the outcome, but the fact you swung for home.
Yeah.
Because what's funny enough, just like Babe Ruth and just like baseball analogy, is every now and then you will hit a homer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it's in that moment from an organization, charity, purpose, like perspective, that that home run can change the lives of countless people.
Mm.
So my encouragement is swing for home.
Yeah. One of the other questions that kind of falls into this category, and I actually love it, because one day you came to me and said, Joss, I've been listening to this podcast from the CEO of Shopo. And I thought, that's probably a little bit of different content than what you usually used to.
A little bit
different,
a little bit left of center.
She's amazing.
I'd call that a shoulder season podcast, that one. Yep.
But you were listening as a man to a podcast from the CEO of Shopo, the founder and CEO. She's amazing. Her name's Jane. And she asked a question in that podcast, which is, what would a tenacious person do?
Hmm.
And you were all excited kind of asking me this question. And it's such a... it's an awesome question, because I think with tenacity, sometimes we can think of it as a negative trait, but it's actually not. It's not always a negative trait. It can be overwhelmingly positive if it's used correctly. So in business and in leadership, a great kind of question to ask is, well, in this situation, what would a tenacious person do?
I think tenacity only becomes an issue when it's married with toxic masculinity, or to be honest, toxic femininity.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you end up becoming a brute.
Yeah.
And that's not what the question or Jane was getting on about, no. Right? So,
and I also don't think it's the meaning of the word tenacity. I think that's our cultural association with the word.
Yeah, the cultural association or the cultural belief is that it's not giving up. It's being a brutish. It is driving.
Yeah, you just do whatever you can to get to the top, or yeah, that kind of thing.
But I actually don't think it's about that. I think it's more about what would you do in the face of adversity.
Mm.
What would a tenacious person do?
Yeah.
How do you get back up when you're feeling as though you're on the floor?
Yeah.
And for me, that's what drives me. The motivation around tenacity is not simply use it to walk over other people, but how do you use it to drive yourself to get up and keep going?
Yeah, absolutely. And at Charitable, we often, in our team, we use the phrase shoot your shot.
Yeah.
And I actually think that's a phrase of tenacity, where it's like, what would it look like to shoot my shot here? And by that we mean, give it a go. What does it look like to give this a go? The worst that you're going to hear is no, and a no is okay to hear. It's actually more annoying when you just don't hear anything. But what would it look like to shoot your shot, to try things that you hadn't tried before, to reach out to that person, to start that campaign, to try that new approach to something? Because what would 100% success look like, and what would a tenacious person do?
And you only need one lucky break.
Yeah.
I mean, so many of the world's greatest businesses are built off one lucky break. So to try and live at 100% success, to live top right, to believe, to dream big, see big and build big, to know what functional innovation is and refining change is, I mean, you need one lucky break in that.
Mm.
And like we've said all throughout this series, it's a muscle. Just keep trying and trying and trying, role-playing and rehearsing, because when you get that lucky break, when you hit the home run, right, people's worlds, lives, and your career can change.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess our encouragement to you is, as we kind of round out this episode, a coaching question to end. If you're to think about your organization, your role within it, what would 100% success look like? Maybe it's doubling the organization's income. Maybe it's getting 100 regular monthly partners, whatever it is. And then think about, what would a tenacious person do? How would they approach that situation? How would a tenacious person keep that goal before them and not stop trying until they reach that goal? So we'll pop that question into the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Fundraising Podcast by Charitable. We love having you guys here. We'd love for you to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends, and please reach out if your organization is looking for any fundraising support, looking for tech support. We have an app, we have an agency. We also have an accelerator where you can learn to level up your fundraising game. So you can check it all out by visiting charitable.org. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will be with you in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to the Fundraising Podcast. We're Charitable and we love all things fundraising. If you want to keep the conversation going, be sure to follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Charitable without the E. Reach out to us, send us a DM. We'd love to connect with you and maybe even work with your charity to help you level up your fundraising. Until next time, thanks for making the world a better place. Charitable, the easy way to give.